Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Welcome to episode 3 of a month-long series dealing with relationships that we're calling the power of connections. So great to be with you all today and have you with us, whether you're joining us on the broadcast online or here in the house in person. It's just great to be together. You know, our new series, it explores the four key areas that can help us live a healthy, balanced life when it's anchored in these biblical principles of how important the connections God places in our lives are. That they're actually part of his divine design to accomplish all that he's called us to and to become the people that we're called to be. We've been created for community. Now, this last week, I had the awesome experience of my annual trip to the dentist. As much as I tried to dodge those calls and text messages, I figured out, you know what, may as well get this done, go in for a cleaning and a checkup and make sure everything's okay. And so I go in. Of course, it's been a little while since I've been there, so they do all the x-rays that they have to do. And they said, is everything okay? I said, yeah, everything's fine. I said, I've been having some sensitivity kind of on one side of my teeth, so I don't know what that is. So they said, okay, we'll check that out. And so they looked at the x-rays. I'm kind of lying there. I can see the x-rays, and you could see that there was a crown that I had many, many years ago, but it showed on the x-ray that there was a little bit of a crack, which meant that there's kind of like a little gap to the gums that's probably the sensitivity that I was feeling. And they said, okay, so we're going to start the cleaning. We'll make note of that. And when the dentist comes in, he'll have a look at it himself. And so that begins that process. And then he comes in, introduces himself. And he says, okay, let's have a look and just make sure that everything's going okay. And so he's got that little, you know, that little X-Acto blade thing with like the miniature pirate's hook on it, you know. And he's picking and digging and scraping at my teeth and checking things out. He's got the little spotlight on his little minor spotlight on his head. And he says, you know, I can see on the X-ray that there is a crack, a small crack in your crown, but I can't see it like with my own eye. So he said, I'm gonna just kind of feel around a little bit. Now that kind of option didn't really sit well with me because he's feeling around with a very sharp instrument. So he's poking around and he says, just let me know if there's any discomfort, and then click, 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 and then rah, it just jams this thing into this crack where there's just enough of an opening to get this pirate hook through. And just the pain shot through my body. And I'm like, yep, there it is. That's the one. And he goes, okay, sorry. He said, we'll look at kind of taking out the old one at some point, cleaning it up, and putting a brand new one in. And so I kind of walked away, still wincing a little bit. But I thought about the fact that in our lives, when there's an imbalance in any of the areas that we're looking at throughout this series, and if there are areas that deal with these relationships in our lives and we kind of avoid them, put them off, avoid dealing with them, these small cracks in our relationships with one another can become bigger problems. And so there's increased sensitivity. You know, there's some people in your life that are very sensitive when you get around them because maybe there's some unresolved issues. But if you leave those things long enough, the pain will grow. And sensitivity turns into something much more. Now, in episode 1 of our series, we looked at David's journey from humble shepherd all the way through to a mighty king. And we looked at the connections that he made along the way in his life to get him connected and to stay connected, to recognize in his life the value of these relationships, because it was really shaping him for what God had called him to do. And his story, I believe, still serves as an encouragement for all of us within our community of faith here at Calvary to keep calling out the best in one another, to call out to God for one another, to pray for one another, right? And to call out the truth to each other. These are the kinds of relationships that David benefited from in his life. Proverbs 27:17 is something he lived, which is, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. We've got people in our lives that we love and care for, and they love and care for us. And it's because of those relationships that we're made stronger. And then last week in episode 2, we looked at the power of uncommon commitment in the life of Christ. And we looked at how that same uncommon commitment is mirrored today in marriages and in family relationships. We talked about the fact that good relationships are possible. They're still possible, but they're not probable. Without the intention of working at them, they don't just happen. So we need to be the kind of Jesus people that others can count on in good times and in bad. And he promised in Hebrews 13:5, in the first part of that verse, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Let's be that kind of person. Let's be a never kind of person. So that people know that when the times get tough, and they will from time to time, that they can count on us. And never will I walk away from you. I'll be in this with you, right through to the end. Now, as Christ followers, all of us are called to avoid isolation. We weren't created to do life alone. I think human nature kind of defaults to this position, always being drawn back to, I just want to be by myself, right? I just need some space. But instead, the will of God for each of our lives is to cultivate balance in every relationship that connects us. That balance is essential. But in order to have balance in our day-to-day connections, we need to also have that same balance in how we live our lives. And that includes our relationship with rest. Instead of looking at life through the lens of a work-life balance, the Bible actually looks at it through the lens of a work-rest balance. Work really includes everything in our lives that requires significant output and energy and creativity. Not just our jobs, not just our career, but our family, right? Our ministry. All of these things require work. But rest is when we stop the output and switch to inputs to restore our bodies, our soul, and our spirits. You see, the work-rest balance continues to be one of the greatest challenges that I think we face as we walk in his ordered steps. We have to understand it because it's the key to becoming all that God has called us to be. Now, in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus drives home a very important point about priorities and balance when he says in Matthew 6:33, seek first, right away, talking about priorities. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So all of the things that we have need of, that we stress over, that we lose sleep over, he wants to give those things to us in a proper balance once we prioritize him in everything that we do. And it's from this healthy place that flows the balance that we seek in the key areas of church community, the family, of our work, and even our health, which we'll get into more next week. All of these things that we're trying to make work within our lives can never be accomplished in and of our own strength. But work is actually a gift from God. Now, I think there's many people that probably feel that it's more like a punishment sometimes, but it's a gift to be able to work at the things that you love to do. And I think when I was old enough to work, I still remember my father saying to me, "You always have a job." I'm like, "What are you talking about? Even when you don't have a job, your job is to get out there and find one." And so I always had this solid work ethic from a very early age that I got from my parents, that I was never afraid to work hard. As a matter of fact, it was part of the thing that caused me to thrive and to grow, right? From the earliest beginning, you know, like babysitting and helping be an assistant plumber, selling t-shirts, doing my own designs, all the way through to being a pool installer, a limo driver, and an apprentice graphic designer. All of these things I did. I was always kept very busy working within my life. But you know what? The truth is, I may not have loved all these jobs, because some of them were definitely not my favorite. Maybe you have one right now that's not your favorite, but that's beside the point, because in and through all those jobs that I had, I worked hard, I learned a ton, and I grew. I grew and I advanced. I was never fired over those many years. I was always given, it seemed, more responsibility. And when I did finally decide to seek another opportunity and leave a position, I always did it in a way that honored the people that I worked for, and it usually resulted with them asking me to stay longer. It's important. It's important to finish strong, to do it well, never burning bridges behind you. Keep that in mind. That's seed in the ground. It's sow and reap. Always finish well. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, Solomon says, "Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might." Proverbs 10, 4, Solomon added to this, "Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth." I've learned that whatever I put my hands to do, I was always going to give my absolute best. And to this day, the call on my life to have diligent hands still remains the same. Diligently reaching to love and to serve those that he's called me to lead. Diligently bringing health and wealth with all these relationships that have made my life so much more fulfilling. It's helped me to be who I am today. The significance and benefits of working diligently is actually a reoccurring theme throughout Scripture. As a matter of fact, the origin of work is first seen at the very beginning in the book of Genesis. In the opening chapter, God is the primary agent of work. He's busy with the creation of the world. And the Bible tells us that God worked for 6 days and then he rested on the seventh. Very important to recognize. These passages reveal that God was the first to do work on the earth and the first to prioritize rest. So legitimate work reflects the activity of God himself. Because God is inherently good, so work is inherently good. Not only that, when God stopped to look at his creation, he called it very good. Like when we build something or accomplish something, we step back and we go, I did that, right? I did something great. God did the same thing. He examined and he assessed the quality of his work. And when he had determined that the quality was done well, that he had done a good job, he took pleasure in the outcome. So by example, it's clear that work should be productive. Work should be done in a way that produces the highest quality outcome. I've always been a big believer in excellence. And the reward for work is the honor and the satisfaction that comes from a job well done. Like my first babysitting job. Although I think I was more excited back then with the free pizza that they had left me to be all myself. Kids were in bed. I'm like watching television, eating pizza. I'm like, this is a pretty good job. Now, things changed as the years went on, and it got a little bit more complicated than that, but the satisfaction of doing something well, it sits well with all of us. We were created in his image, with his characteristics. God created man to work with him in the world. He planted a garden, and then he had Adam in it to cultivate it and to maintain it. It was and still is a divine partnership as we work and walk together. The original plan for Adam and Eve to subdue and rule over the earth was set in motion to develop and to maintain the world. And even though that original plan was derailed by sin, the Father sent his Son to redeem it. Work is of no value except when God is in it. John chapter 4, verse 34 says, "My food," says Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. In my experience over time, the key to finishing the work he's called me to do is found in that work-rest balance that starts with a crystal clear understanding of our priorities. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24 says, "Whatever work we do, do it with all your heart." So work diligently. Do it for the Lord and not for men. And remember that you will get your reward from the Lord. He will give you what you should receive because you are working for the Lord. This means that it doesn't really matter what we do for a living as long as you're laboring at it with your whole heart. When you do that, you're pleasing God, whether you're working in the marketplace, in ministry, whether you're raising children. This all requires effort and work. Now, you may not like your job or your boss sometimes, but by working for God and not man, having that understanding, God will honor you for honoring him. We're all called to work at reaching the lost, some within the church and others within the marketplace. It's a balance of all of us actively serving, loving, and being ambassadors of his love to the world. As Christ followers, we kind of live as strangers in a culture of contradictions. How do we live for Christ in a world that's kind of constantly pulling us in different directions? Do you live to work or do you work to live? People typically err on one of the two extremes when it comes to the elusive work-life balance, which is really a bit of a myth. Some live to work, right? It's not uncommon for people, whatever they wear, whether it's a white collar, blue collar, no collar, or a clerical collar, it's not unusual for people to work 60, 70, 80 hours a week. People work hard. I remember back in college, and some of you are probably in college today and would identify with this, but I remember at that time, while doing my course load, also having two or three jobs at the same time, sometimes working all night long just to get things done. The hustle was real, and it continues today. But if I was honest, I lacked the balance that I needed in this work-rest dynamic that we're talking about today. But some work to live, and I think we tend to think that this is the holier or more honorable of the two extremes. But sometimes it's simply an excuse for laziness or the result of a time-consuming interest or a non-essential commitment, giving the appearance of great importance. I remember one of those jobs that I was working at while in college, I was working in a sign shop. And I always kind of marveled at my coworkers with their obsession and how anxious they were feeling as they worked throughout the day. They just watched that clock, tick, 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 tick. They watched. They just wanted to be anywhere than where they were. They couldn't wait for that clock to hit 5 o'clock or 4:30 or whatever the time was to go home because, man, they were out the door. They were waiting for happy hour. They couldn't wait for the weekend. And when they got back from the weekend, all as they talked about was the weekend and what they were going to do the following weekend. It was like they were holding their breath underwater so that they could finally live. Instead of understanding that in the earnest desire that we should have to work, that is also an important part of our life. We grow in those times. But you know what? Their attitude, it reflected in the work that they did. And it wasn't always the best because some people were gone long before they were gone. So, should I live to work or work to live? Well, I think the answer is actually a balance of both. God has shaped each of us with diligent hands. And I believe these three essentials that I'm going to give you apply. The first one is that diligent hands work and create. You see, God formed us in his own image, placing all of us in this intricate system that requires our care, our cultivation, it requires stewardship. But he also places us in his own amazing creation, full of inspiration, with plenty of space to dream, to create, to build, and to express ourselves. It's really a world filled with possibility. And his creation mandate charges us with the responsibility to rule over the earth as his representatives, as his sons and daughters. Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 to 28, it says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them," in case you were wondering. Those are the two that are in play. "God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it,'" or bring order and to create. "I believe it's a good, right, and holy thing to give yourself to honest work, especially when it provides for the people that you love, when it creates things that help people advance and can be profitable. It helps contribute to the common good of everything that's happening around us. We're being faithful to God when we work well." I truly believe that. Second one is that diligent hands require rest, which is really at the heart of this message. Such an important thing to understand, that God established a rhythm from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 to 3 says, "On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. So he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from his work in creation." Now, people have asked me this before, but do you think that God rested because he was exhausted? Man, just like the lights and the water and the animals, like this is, I gotta lay down. Do you think he was exhausted? Do you think that's why he created that day or took rest? Absolutely not. He possesses immeasurable, inexhaustible strength. The Creator himself didn't require rest, but because he knew that his creation would require regular relaxation and reflection and recreation, he set aside one day of the week, and he commanded those who worship him to honor that day, to make it important in their lives. Because we're human beings, we're not machines. We need to pace ourselves accordingly. So we require a regular routine to remember that we depend on him, to enjoy time with the people that he's placed in our lives, those valuable and powerful connections, and to enjoy the world that he's created for us, to recalibrate our hearts and souls and to worship him. You've got to take time to do those things. It's this kingdom rhythm that ensures productive work. And then finally, diligent hands resist imbalance. I think our sinful bend is toward idolatry and imbalance, giving the honor, praise, and priority to anything but God. It's really at the heart of this whole issue that we're talking about. Work is a false god, and free time is a lousy lord. Neither deserves to sit on the throne of our hearts, because that place is reserved for God alone. When we go to either one of those extremes, we're basically saying, you know what, God, I'm going to do it my way because I know better. We've heard that story before. We heard that at the beginning of time. Genesis 3, 9 to 10, God had told them prior to this, you know what, enjoy everything. This is an amazing place where we'll walk and talk and live and work together. But don't touch that tree. Don't go there. Don't do that. And yet the enemy whispers in their ear and they convince themselves that they know better than God. That's where imbalance comes in. Instability sets in. And so they did what they weren't supposed to do. And then as God walked in the cool of the day and was looking for them, he cried out. The Bible says in Genesis 3, 9 to 10, the Lord called out to the man and says, "Where are you?" And God didn't lose them. He didn't say, "Oh, I can't believe I've lost the first people I've created. What have I done?" No, no, no. He knew exactly where they were. He sensed an imbalance. And he replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid." Fear usually comes in when we take the wheel and we try to do things in our own capacity. When we think to ourselves, I know better than God, I know he told me not to do that, but we're going to go ahead and do it anyways. We're going to try to make this thing work on our own. Listen, if we're serving either the God of work or the Lord of leisure, we'll never experience the peace, the purpose, and the balance that we can only find in Christ. So how do you spend your work time and your free time? When you're at work serving within the church, have diligent hands. When you're at your office doing what you've been hired and paid to do, be diligent. Have diligent hands. Work at it with all your heart, as if you're serving the Lord, not just a team leader or a boss. And then when you have free time, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Rest regularly. Be thankful. Reflect on God's great love. And do it all in the name of Jesus. You know, at Calvary, we believe every member is a minister, and we're all called to the work of the Great Commission. God needs those who work full-time in the church, but he also needs those who are working full-time and leading out there in the marketplace, in the corporate world. They're equally important. You see, true success and balance is obeying and following God's call on your life, and it looks different for all of us. You see, the work-rest balance is only achieved when we work diligently for him and rest regularly in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the balance that you've called us to have, and you've created a path for us to do it, to be able to work with all our hearts, to honor you in everything that we do, but to also be deliberate about the rest that we take, to care for our lives, to care for the people that we love, to have that balance so that we can be effective in accomplishing all that you've called us to do. We love you today, Lord. And I pray for those that are struggling to find that balance, that are trying to do it all, but realize they just cannot do it. I pray that you'd reveal to him, to each of them, your plan. Reveal to them the work-rest balance so that they can accomplish all you've called them to do, but they also can balance it as they regularly rest and replenish and just renew their spirits, their souls, and their bodies to do all that you've called them to. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's best, Calvary. Have an amazing week. We look forward to seeing you again.